Today on City Cast Chicago. Is the Jane Addams Museum really haunted? How the hell did Chance the Snapper end up in the Humboldt Park Lagoon? And why do so many Chicagoans hate ketchup? Seriously, I don't get it. These are just some of the stories Jeffrey Bear and his team of Ghostbusters investigate in his brand new special, Chicago Mysteries, on WTTW. Bear is here to break down some of his favorite tales and to share which ones remain unsolved to this day. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About. Welcome back to City Cast Chicago, Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Now, we're excited to have you here because you've got great range, my friend. Last time you were here, we were talking about some of the most beautiful places in Chicago, and now you are back to talk about some of the most terrifying, haunting, and long-lasting mysteries. But I kind of got to start with some basic definitions here because, right, some of the stories you all talk about, UFOs, ghost stories, those definitely come in the mystery variety. But then y'all got some topics like ketchup on hot dogs, a statue at the University of Chicago. Jeffrey, for you, what counts as a Chicago mystery?
Well, I love that you're pointing that out because we really tried to get kind of a range into the show. And you're right, we've got some of the paranormal kind of things. And I've actually always shied away from that in my work because, you know, I've been doing these shows on WTTW for years. And I'm mostly about like Chicago history, you know, things that can be documented.
Proven.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I've always sort of shied away from ghost stories and paranormal and even like mobster, like gangster history in Chicago, mob history. I kind of left that to other people. But we wanted to just sort of, well, broaden out what we do. And there's some Native American history in the show. There's some history about an early kind of affordable housing on the South Side. You know, and yeah, Chance the Snapper is in the show. So we kind of wanted to get a range and just have some fun, too.
And that is one of the things I like about sort of the horror, the mystery genre, is that there is room for fun. But for me, I've always shied away from because Chicago has some deeply traumatizing and tragic history that is documented from race riots to the legacy of segregation, environmental. And so for you, when you start to think about Chicago mysteries, what separates a good ghost story from just a really messed up, tragic story that took place in Chicago's infamous history?
You're so right. And so a good example of this, although not as recent, is the Tylenol murders. You know, there was this horrible, horrible murder story in Chicago where someone still unknown poisoned a number of Tylenol bottles, put them back on the shelves in drugstores around the city, and literally randomly killed a bunch of people, including a young girl.
Exactly. I was like, the age ranged from a young girl to someone older, a couple.
Oh, a woman who had just come back from the hospital after giving birth. You know, I mean, horrible. And I thought if there was any story that was going to be in the show, for sure, it was that one, because it's one of the most famous unsolved murders in Chicago. And my editor turned around to me and to my producer, Sean Keenahan, and he said, "You're not going to believe this, but I think the thing we should cut is the Tylenol murders." And we all looked at each other and we were like,
"It doesn't scream fun."
Right. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun. And so we did not want to put anything in the show that we were like making light of or making having fun with something that's really just not fun and not funny.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people, when they start talking ghost stories, you know, you it's not very long until you get to talking about like a serial killer or like this, an unsolved murder, and those things, those have deep like wounds for people who are still going. So for you, as someone who avoided this genre a lot in your career as a historian, but somebody who is dabbled in, who wanted to have fun with it, which mystery was the most surprising to you?
I guess one that I had absolutely never heard of was the devil baby that supposedly haunts Jane Addams Hull House in Chicago. And at first you hear about this and you're like, oh, forget it. That's just completely ridiculous. But mm-hmm. Jane Addams wrote about it in the Atlantic magazine.
For folks not familiar, Jane Addams was a social worker, a sociologist and activist, and the Hull House was one of the most famous settlement houses in the United States at the time, providing social services to the poor, immigrant families, and more.
She wrote an article about this phenomenon of her house being haunted by a devil baby. And so we looked a little more deeply into it. And actually, Hull House Museum has sort of leaned into this a little bit. They're not shying away from the story. And it turns out that there's a bit of a social justice message in it. Because it was a myth, obviously it was a myth, that some couple gave birth to a devil. And the story was that the wife was devout, the husband was an atheist, and he said, I'd rather have a devil in my house than another baby. And so lo and behold, when the wife gave birth, it was instead of a baby, it was a devil. So they brought it to Hull House because they didn't know what to do with it. Hull House took it to church, tried to get it baptized, the baby ran away, they caught it again. They finally didn't know what to do with it, so they locked it in the attic of Hull House. So that's the myth. Well, people were lined up around the block of Hull House, knocking on the door, we want to come in and see the devil baby. And Jane Addams was like, what is this? Why do people think there's a devil baby? What? And she kind of wrote about it in the Atlantic Monthly. She kind of started to think about it as a feminist statement that it was all women who wanted to come and see the devil baby because their abusive husbands had brought about this tragedy. And so it brought forward that these women who were always burdened with everything to do with the family, blamed for everything that went wrong with the family, were so passionate to see this devil baby as a kind of vindication of the burden of abuse. You know, and so I love how the story sort of takes that turn. And yet it's, you know, it's a totally fun story. And we have like a really funny animation in it with the devil baby taking the cigar out of the father's mouth and smoking it, which is part of the myth. So we could sort of simultaneously have fun with it, but also get into something a little bit more substantive.
So for you, this is one of the most surprising one you didn't know. What was the most fun, since that was the theme that was driving you all's collection of which stories to tell, which stories to research? What was the most fun story for you?
Yeah, a lot of them are so much fun. But the one that I really love most, maybe it's like, what's my favorite child? But the one that I think is most fun is this supposed submarine, mini submarine, was discovered sunken on the bottom of the Chicago River in 1915. And this story is so full of one-of-a-kind Chicago characters. So the person who found it was this kind of publicity-hungry diver named William Frenchy Deneau, who had become sort of a minor celebrity because he recovered a lot of the bodies of the Eastland disaster that year, 1915. In the summer, a giant steamship turned on its side in the Chicago River. Hundreds of people died. And he was a diver who was one of the people charged with going down and, recovering bodies. And he just couldn't get enough of seeing his name in the papers. So, you know, he named himself Captain Deneau. He labeled himself the hero of the Eastland. He inflated the number of people he rescued or the number of bodies he recovered. You know, he was always wanted to see himself in the paper. So flash forward, I don't know, 5 months. It's frigid December. He's down on the bottom of the Chicago River laying cable for some company, who knows what. And he stubs his toe on this metal object in the bottom of the river. And I guess maritime law or something, if you find it, you own it. So he had it raised out of the bottom of the Chicago River, and it looked like a little submarine that could hold like five people with a big hole in it. So it was sunk on the bottom of the river. He claimed that he found human remains inside and a dog skull. And he wanted to like make money from this discovery. So he I don't even know if he cleaned it up, but he put it on display in a skee ball arcade on State Street. And he put up big posters all over Chicago. Come see this vessel. Go inside if you dare. For you know, charge people a dime to go inside.
Old school carnival advertising is so hilarious to me.
Totally. Totally. And he called it the Fool Killer. And we actually do solve the mystery. The podcaster who we interviewed for it, Mark Chrysler, who has a podcast called The Constant, got obsessed with this story, and he actually solved the mystery. Turns out it wasn't a submarine at all, but that's all I'll say. People have to watch the show to find out what it was.
So some of the mysteries you solve or do a little myth busting around, like the statue of Dialago by Virginio Ferrari at the University of Chicago, but others you're discovering and they don't really have answers, like the mob encyclopedia with the mysterious author. Do you have a type of mystery you like better?
No, what I really like is that some of them are solved and some of them are, we leave them unsolved. Because they're great stories regardless of whether you solve the mystery or not.
Do you feel like you're passing it off to the next person who will get obsessed over it? Or have you decided there will be no answers for this? And so that's the beautiful part of it.
Oh, no, I think it would be wonderful. For example, you alluded to this mob encyclopedia called Bullets for Dead Hoods. So this is a weathered old manuscript, like yellowed typed manuscript that was discovered in a junk shop. And it is a very detailed A to Z encyclopedia from around the 1930s of the entire gamut of the Chicago mob, from the most low level pickpockets to Al Capone. But the mystery is who wrote it, because this person had to have known in great detail these stories. So it was either a mob insider or was a cop or maybe a reporter, but they did not dare put their name on this, you know, manuscript, or they themselves probably would have, you know, ended up
in the river
at the bottom
with the submarine. Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe that was the person in the submarine. Who knows? So we'll probably never know who wrote that, but maybe we will find out. And if so, that would be awesome.
Did you ever feel disappointed? Like, you're a historian, you like to solve the mystery, to sort of put the pieces together. Was it ever disappointing to be left with more questions?
The bottom line is that it's about the story. Mm-hmm. And so even if we don't solve the mystery, if it's a great story, I think I feel great about putting it out there. I will say that, you know, it seems frivolous, but we do ask the story, you mentioned it, of why we don't put ketchup on a Chicago hot dog.
That was going to be my next one, Jeffrey, because this is one of the ones that I was just like, is this really a mystery? Like, how is this on the same level as like ghost stories? But then I sat with it for a second, and I'm somebody who does, I love putting ketchup on a hot dog. I'll go to any hot dog stand, ask for it. And if you give me that like sort of Chicago, oh my God, you're not a real Chicagoan, I'm a throw you the birds. Like, that's all you getting from me. But when I think about it, I'm actually a little annoyed because I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what gives people not only the right, but like where that impulse from so many Chicagoans to just, oh no, ketchup, that's for kids. Like, what did you find? Where does this come from?
This turns out to be a more substantive story than you could possibly have thought at first. Mm-hmm. And so the thing you always hear, and I don't buy it at all, is, oh, you know, ketchup's loaded with sugar, so it spoils the taste of the hot dog.
Stop it. Well, stop it. It's a hot dog, dog. What are we talking about? What are we putting in our bodies? Like, it's a hot dog.
Right? No kidding. And the other thing about that is that would be true if you were in Cleveland or New York or LA or anywhere else. Why is it a Chicago thing? So we got Monica Eng, who's the Axios reporter, wonderful food expert. And it turns out I'm going to give you the answer to this one. It's because a Chicago hot dog has seven signature ingredients, seven key ingredients on a Chicago hot dog. And they are a metaphor, or not even a metaphor. They are the result of waves of immigration that mm-hmm. came to Chicago. So the hot dog itself is German and also usually kosher or kosher style. And then all these various ingredients, the mustard is German, the onions, pickle, and tomato slice are courtesy of the Italian and Greek greengrocers who came to Chicago. The sport pepper could be from two different origins, could be from brought up from Louisiana in the Black Migration, could also have come from Mexican immigrants. Chicago used to be the celery capital of the world. Celery was considered this health miracle at the turn of the century. So celery salt. So all these, these are the particular ingredients that are a sort of a symbol of our own history of Chicago. Now, if you take ketchup and slather it all over that,
it's like, you ain't got no story. Where do you come from? What heritage are you bringing to this meal?
Yeah, right. Well, it's not just heritage. It actually is an overpowering flavor all the mixture of flavors that you get in a Chicago dog, all you taste is the sugar. And Monica and I, at the end of the show, you know, they have a big canister of ketchup at Sox Park. So we both neither one of us likes ketchup on our hot dogs. So we both tried it, you know, and you know, we're like making faces, and Monica says, I feel like I'm 5 years old, you know, so, but there's more of a story there.
When you break it down like that, I can understand ketchup doesn't have a place in sort of the Chicago dog proper. It's just so interesting. The idea that ketchup doesn't have place on a hot dog seems to be the result of that logic. But it is pretty specific that ketchup is not on a Chicago dog. But once you tell that story, it makes more sense. But I wonder, when people were coming up with the Chicago dog, was that the symbolism in how they designed it? Because that also feels like a story that you tell yourself afterwards. That you're like, oh, look at all these ingredients, but they come from somewhere. Was that in the original idea of creating the Chicago dog is let's celebrate all of these different histories?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was an intentional kind of symbolic celebration. I think it's that those were the ingredients that were there, particularly on Maxwell Street. You go down to Maxwell Street, you got the greengrocers, you've got, you also had the Chicago Polish was also, you know, sort of pioneered down on Maxwell Street. But you could sort of go from booth to booth, you know, loading up your dog. And I've also heard stories that it was a meal on a bun, like in a day when you had people who were, you know, very poor. Same area that Jane Addams was in, by the way. You know, you were getting your vegetables, you were getting your meat, you were getting your grain. It was kind of a meal on a bun and not expensive. So no, it wasn't, it certainly wasn't that, oh, we're going to create a symbol for Chicago. It actually grew more organically out of that, if you believe that story.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to take them seven ingredients, throw an eighth one on there as well, and keep it pushing.
There you go.
I mean, how has doing this series changed how you either understand Chicago, its history and myths and stereotypes, or just open your mind to the variety of stories? Like you said, going into it, you wanted things you could document, things that had sort of a clear history to them. But now you've welcomed in these stories that are a little more open to interpretation and change over time. You know, how has that impacted you?
The last thing you said there is, I think, a really good point that, There is documented history, but then there's also story, you know, and I think story is a really powerful thing. The way we, you know, whether it's a myth or not, it has power. So I do think that there is power in story, even if it's not like a story you can necessarily 100% document and prove is true. And what's true anyway?
I want to give another huge thank you to Jeffrey Baird, the host and co-writer of Chicago Mysteries. We're going to drop links to where you can stream the episode as well as the companion website. Jeffrey, thank you so much for making time.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for including me.
Before we let you go, I want to give you a quick reminder. For more CityCast Chicago, head over to our website, chicago.citycast.fm. There we're answering some of your biggest Chicago questions like, how do I run for the Chicago School Board? What are some of the best Chicago concerts this spring? And what are some of the activities I can get into this weekend for 420? Well, we got all of those answers for you over at our website, and we're willing to send them to your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday, for free. All you got to do is subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago. Something you can only find on the podcast, though. Some good news. The Gateways Music Festival, a celebration of classical musicians of African descent, continues tonight with an amazing event at the South Shore Cultural Center at 8:30. Decomposition and Love Is will feature live music performances. Some of the city's most gifted poets, including the poet laureate himself, and vignettes from the Southside Home Movie Project. This one-of-a-kind event is a can't miss, and plus, it's also free. So just reserve your tickets at the link in the show notes, and maybe I'll see you there. As always, we appreciate you for listening and reading. The best thing you can do to support Hey Chicago and CityCast is be back here bright and early tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Peace.
The Rat Hole. And we're going to have that in another one of my shows coming up. We already filmed it. But it was a squirrel, apparently.
No stone unturned. Exactly. There wasn't even a rat. But I mean, squirrel hole and rat hole. Rat hole is so, that's just punchy. Rolls off the tongue.
It's better. Absolutely.
I was just going to say, we're going to be sitting here in 25 years and somebody going to be telling me the fictitious story of rat hole.